The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. For the most comprehensive industry news and information, visit our website at irei.com and sign up for our free daily news alerts.
I'm Mike Consol.
And I'm Loretta Klotfelter.
Welcome to Inside the Edition. Real estate investors obsess about many things, Loretta, and interest rates are one of them. You have interest rates featured in the June 2018 edition of Institutional Real Estate Americas, and no sooner does the magazine arrive in subscribers' inboxes and mailboxes when the Federal Reserve announces it's raising them. What's the skinny?
So interest rates are going up. This is not a surprise. Yesterday's move by the Fed was pretty widely expected to go up by about 25 basis points. So that's for the target federal funds rate. And, you know, we've seen interest rates going up. The Treasury rate is at about 3%, I think, right now. It dipped down at the end of May, just after we wrote the article. It dipped down in the wake of some Eurozone jitters, Italy, etc. And you saw the Treasury, 10-year Treasury, kind of come down a little bit. So the big question is, though, like, why do we care, right? Why do commercial real estate investors care? And that's because higher interest rates affects commercial real estate in a number of ways. It's going to increase borrowing costs. It can raise the expected returns. It can, you know, raise what returns need to be. It can increase the cost of holding land. And it can even possibly reduce the value of long-term leases, especially if you're, on the comparison. But what it often means when interest rates are going up is that we are in a, especially when the Fed is making these moves, is that we are in a period of positive economic growth. And if we're in this period of positive economic growth, hopefully we can also have rising rents. And so the question that everyone sort of walks around to is, what is the relationship between interest rates and cap rates? Is there a relationship between interest rates and cap rates? And this is kind of an open question in the market of, like, maybe. Like, we've talked to a lot of experts, and there are some people who say that they are not as closely tied as is believed. But that there are others who say that they are pretty closely connected. But what we're really talking about is fairly minimal so far interest rate rises. And with that, probably, hopefully, not too much of an impact on cap rate real estate and real estate values. And hopefully enough economic growth to support rising rents, which will then support sort of yields and NOI, you know, net operating income, which will then, you know, sort of mitigate some of the perhaps value declines as investors sort of look at, like, well, what can I, you know, if I can get a higher return in a safer, quote unquote, safer, investment, you know, if treasuries are now returning 3%, then I'm going to need some sort of spread between that and my real estate investment to take on the risk of the additional, you know, the additional risk of investing in real estate. And that's really what people are talking about when they talk about that spread between interest rates and cap rates. But at the moment, we've seen that spread tighten a little bit. We haven't seen cap rates move yet in reaction to rising treasury rates. So it's a wait and see moment. Again, the target federal funds rate, which is the sort of overnight lending, this is a short term rate, has gone up. Long term rates are more or less holding steady, which is another thing to kind of keep an eye on. When the two get a little out of whack, what's called an inverted yield curve, that can also be sort of a sign of possibly a recession in the offing. So, I was at a research presentation last week. Mike Acton of AEW was talking about rising rates and recessions, and that prior to the past few recessions, there has been a tightening cycle, by which you mean that the what you would call, like, before the financial crisis, interest rates would go up, and then there'd be a recession, and interest rates are brought down. That the two kind of, this is just sort of the business cycle. This is how these things roll. And so if we are, you know, starting to see interest rates go up, maybe that's a harbinger of a future recession, maybe in the next couple of years. You know, not tomorrow. I don't think anyone's expecting things to go off the rails tomorrow.
Well, we certainly hope not. Now, as you suggested, moderately rising interest rates is emblematic of a good economy, a strong and growing economy. And then on the flip side, or the other end of that spectrum, you've got some people a little bit concerned that we might be start to grow a little too fast. We want to moderate that growth. We don't want the economy to overheat. We did see a major tax cut. And regulations being stripped away, and clearly that's goosed the economy to some degree. You do say in the article, though, as well, that while the short term remains positive, most investors believe that if there are multiple increases in the interest rate, that eventually that leads to a quote-unquote pain point for real estate. When you talk about that pain point, is that, are we talking cap rates, or are there some other elements to this?
I think that is the question is, at what point are interest rates so high that they start to have a negative overall impact on real estate? And, you know, so when will that happen? You know, real estate is very capital intensive, and that generally means a lot of borrowing. And rising rates does mean higher borrowing costs. So the question becomes, at what point will higher borrowing costs really cause a drag on returns? And so probably not until next year-ish, maybe. You know, what's the number? Different people have different numbers of, like, what that point is. But in general, the idea is a little higher than where we are now, but there could be a pain point. They talk about a Safer Shaw did a survey where they asked people where that pain point would be, and about 2/3 of the respondents said the industry can tolerate about 150 basis points more before things start to really feel the pain. You know, the other thing you talk about, you know, the overheating economy, you know, I think it's important to talk about something like inflation in that context. And we are starting to see a slight uptick in inflation mm-hmm. in recent months. A lot of that, I don't know if you've bought gas or been to the pump lately.
Oh, yeah, just yesterday.
There's the pain point.
It definitely gave my credit card a workout.
But we've seen, you know, energy costs in particular, the price of gas is way up. Even if you strip out food and gas, which can be a little bit more mobile as far as these things go. CPI as of May, the most recent numbers, up 2.2% over the last 12 months. Like, that's in target, right? Like, the Fed says they want to target 2% inflation and full employment. Well, we're pretty much hitting both of those measures. You know, we're right on target for the inflation. You know, we're no longer at these, you know, we had really low inflation for the past few years. But, like, you know, so inflation has crept back up. We're starting to see some wage growth, although not a lot, and not enough to necessarily put us into some sort of wage price spiral. The 1970s mm-hmm. had quite a bit of that. But we are starting to see a little bit of inflation tick up. And, you know, on the employment front, you know, sub 4% unemployment rate, adding jobs every month. You know, we are
basically at full employment.
We are, you know, there's probably still some more people that we could maybe pull back into the market, but yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of slack left in this labor market. And, you know, it looks like there's one unemployed person for every open position. Now, of course, you know, skills don't always match. So it's not like everyone who is unemployed could immediately be hired by all these open jobs. But it does suggest that the market doesn't have a lot of slack. Like, most people have a job. Inflation is, you know, right on target. And on top of that, you mentioned the tax cuts. So here we are stimulating an economy that's already running at full speed. And I don't think anyone knows what's going to happen.
Well, let's take a look back for a second. So three items you just mentioned, rising salaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then we
not,
were starting...
Not strongly, but ticking up
a
little.
It's moderate. We have moderately increasing interest rates, moderately increasing inflation. And for the longest time, we have been saying, where are these things? Where's the inflation? Where are the interest rates? Because we're seeing growth. There's all that quantitative easing. And it's almost a relief to see that some of these things are starting to happen, because it seemed a little bit supernatural or surreal that all of this stuff was going on and we weren't seeing it reflected in interest rates and inflation in particular. And of course, we've been struggling for quite a while now trying to get real purchasing power to rise among your average worker. So in a way, my point being that in a way, it's a bit of a relief that because some of these are obviously positive signs. Economy's doing well. So, of course, inflation and interest rates are going to start to rise. And fortunately, we're actually seeing marginally bigger paychecks. It's a start, maybe takes it almost. When I say surreal, I'm thinking in terms of when these things weren't happening. It was almost like what is going to happen? If not that, then what? And it's almost like people were waiting for this big, very big shoe to drop.
Yeah, it was a. I mean, you know, it's been a. We're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of the global financial crisis. It has been a very long recovery. And for a long time, it was a jobless recovery. And that means that for ordinary people, it doesn't feel like a recovery at all. And so we are starting to see that sort of positive situation. Now, for commercial real estate, the question will be, how well does the industry negotiate this sort of change into, you know, we are kind of getting to the latter stage of the cycle. This is late cycle. This is the time when you need to really be emphasizing your asset management, your NOI growth, because you're probably not going to see that much more appreciation in values. And you might even see some depreciation once the cycle turns. So you really want to be laying down some good income growth at this point.
You know, you mentioned in the article investor approaches to mitigating risk. What can real estate investors do, or are they doing, to try to mitigate the risk of these rising? Again, they're modest at this point, but I think the fear is that the interest rates could start to spike. What do they do to mitigate risk?
Well, there's a few things you can do. One strategy is to look at your duration risk on property leases, and perhaps to focus on slightly shorter lease terms. You know, not necessarily locking yourself in at a particular point, especially because we might see rents start to go up in an inflationary environment. That means that apartments are going to look really attractive because, you know, those are just 1-year leases, not the 10 years that you often see in office. You know, so apartments are looking favorable. The other thing you want to look for is, again, like I mentioned, growing income streams, which favors multifamily and to a certain extent industrial warehouses as well. Another option might be to look at the cap rate spread between primary and secondary markets and perhaps see that there's some advantage to moving out of gateway cities. Things might be a little overheated there. So there is some talk about secondary markets and how you might get better yields there.
You know, one of the points made in the article also is that investors really like certainty. Certainty is is very helpful, and certainty and predictability. But it does seem that we've been living with an awful lot of uncertainty for quite a while. It almost seems, my own impression, I'm curious whether you're seeing this as well, that investors have learned to live with more unpredictability and be comfortable with more unpredictability than maybe has been traditional.
Well, you know, I think, you know, I look at the political situation these days, which has a lot of, you know, a lot of headlines, a lot of drama, and then I look at the market, which seems to just sort of shrug it off. And it's, you know, things are just sort of steady. And I mean, you know, 2017 in particular was just a year of everything just going up. And 2018's been a little bit less, hasn't exactly gone straight up, 2018. But for the most part, you know, volatility, it's not quite back. And the market does seem to shrug a lot of this off. So I don't know. I don't know if the market's better at handling uncertainty or if it's just stopped paying attention to it.
Well, to a fresh dash of uncertainty that we're seeing right now is Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, mentioned this today that because of the potential trade war with the tariffs that President Trump is threatening to slap on allies and enemies alike, that it could wipe out the effect of the tax cuts. So more unpredictability there, but I wonder what kind of effect that might have on interest rates. If it mutes the recovery or the expansion of the economy, I should say, now all of a sudden there may be some downward pressure on the Fed in terms of holding off on interest rate increases because, well, for obvious reasons that if the economy is starting to slow down, that's not the time you want to boost interest rates.
Right, but I think if you talk to any investor, they would prefer a situation of a good economy and rising interest rates as opposed to a bad economy and falling interest rates.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, the good economy is the key thing here, and you know
unpredictability. My main point is just
it's hard, you know, to plan.
That unpredictability. I don't think we've ever really seen a trade war that has been positive for either side. So, but again, Donald Trump does a lot of dodging, you know, a lot of dodging and burning. So it may be a strategy of basically putting certain countries and industries on notice that let's get in the line.
But on trade, you know, for the commercial real estate industry, these tariffs on steel are not a good, they are not a good plan. You know, if you want to talk about what industries use steel, we're looking at the construction industry, mm-hmm. and construction is done on fairly thin margins. You know, in a 25% tariff on imported steel, which will only encourage, you know, domestic steel to raise its prices to the same level. That's a 25% increase in one of the major construction materials costs. Like that's no small thing. So, you know, and then that's going to change your measurements of what replacement cost would be. And I just don't see this being positive for the industry, let alone the broader question of, you know, will this slow down the economy? I'm very concerned about something like this.
Yeah, it's certainly one of the things that's hanging out there that could spell the difference between a continued economic expansion and one that comes to that sudden end. But let's hope not. Let's hope not.
No one wins a trade war, you know. No one wins any war. There's no winners in war. It's just a matter of surviving, and I don't think that's the direction we want to go. You know, with that said, perhaps we'll sort of pull back from the brink. The economy, like we said, looks great. Employment is strong. You know, this seems like a good time.
Still time to have a party.
Hopefully, but that always brings up something that I think Jeff Dorman was commenting on at our most recent board meeting, which is that, you know, I've probably mentioned this on the podcast before, but, you know, everybody's been doing great in commercial real estate. Everything's been going up and no one's having any fun. It's just been white knuckled all the way up. And I think that's the case. It hasn't been a fun boom. It's been a hard fought, incremental, step by step, when is this all going to blow away positive situation. And I don't know.
Yeah, well, if you're not having fun on the ride up, wait till you see the ride down.
Ooh.
So that's that's definitely not something to be looking forward to if you're not having fun when times are good.
It's a cycle, though. It's a cycle.
Well, Loretta, I recommend to you and probably all of our listeners and to myself that any purchases we have to make, we should do so now before the interest rates go up. Great discussion, a great article. Thanks for your time, Loretta, as always.
All right. You take care.